Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic. This is your Comedian's Guide to Autism. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Kirk, and I have a co-host.
Graham K. Hello, everybody. We are back. Oh my gosh, it's been a couple weeks.
It's been a while, man. Yeah, it's been more than a couple weeks. Yeah, I think we're...
Little summer hiatus for the boys, you know?
Well, we're up on the high seas sometimes, so it's hard to record out there.
Yeah, you and I both are doing comedy on cruises a lot these days. And you also, to be honest, you were in Sweden visiting your son, right?
That's true. Yeah. I took this summer break, and so I took a few, out there about a week maybe, after I built that door for you, or helped you build that barn door.
We
got a lot of letters about that. People liked that little story.
Man, I tell you what, it's solid.
How's that working, by the way? Haircut looks good.
It's working great. Apartment's coming together, and so it's okay. I saw a mouse a couple weeks ago.
That's your favorite.
And I don't understand why I can't have nice things. Why am I doubling my rent and now I have a mouse? The building's old. The guy came by. I think the mice are dead. Hopefully they're just rotting in the walls somewhere. But the apartment.
<That's> so gross.
I checked all my shoes. He's not in there. But I came back after being gone for 10 days, and I laid some traps just in case they were still around. And no sign of mice, no new poop. So I think they're just dead somewhere. I don't know.
Good.
Which is good.
Perfect.
Good. Yeah. And, Oh, by the way, the Comedian's Guide to Autism. I have an autistic brother. Kirk's got an autistic son. And I have some high-functioning mice running around. They were hard to get.
But crafty little mice.
But it's tough being a man.
You guys can't see this, but he's, as we speak, looking around his apartment, seeing if he can spot a mouse, stay on brand.
Yeah, Kirk's in L.A., I'm in New York, but we FaceTime this, and he could see me. I was FaceTiming my buddy the other day, because we were doing a fantasy football draft, and I kept forgetting that he couldn't see me, because we were concentrating on, other screens involving football, and he just kept looking at me and just being like, "Hey, are you looking in a mirror, man? Is there a mirror there?" And he caught me picking my nose. He's like, "Please, your head is so big on my computer. You're picking your nose." It's like, "Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah."
Oh, that's funny. That's good. That makes me feel better. Usually open these calls with "please don't eat" when you're on the mic, Kirk. So
this
good.
Kirk loves, as soon as he gets on mic, he loves to start eating.
In fairness, like, I'm eating the whole time.
Good time to eat. I'm on the mic. I'm going to start drinking. You probably may have heard him swallow already a few times. The guy is just constantly drinking on mic. And he's
you're not wrong.
And the mic that I hear him through is his earphone mic.
Yeah, so that's not the good one. Yeah,
it's not the same mic you're listening to him through. So it's like a mic that just picks up everything in the room, and he's always like dropping things and picking up things and slamming them down, and it's just like constant like. just a gross like.
Guys, this is a comedian on the spectrum complaining about his co-host podcast. That's what this is. Just complaints.
This is what and honestly, I feel like my brother when I talk to you, because no one else does this to me. No one else is this loud. But my brother is hypersensitive to noises in the background when we talk on the phone. And so I can't use the earbud mic. I have to take my earbuds out and use the phone mic when I talk to him, because it's less sensitive. My mouth is right there, whatever. Because if I'm like walking around and there's like a tiny breeze, he's just like, "What's that noise?"
Actually,
oh my God.
You're probably the only person I use these headphones with, now that I think about it. Yeah, because otherwise it would go through the computer and there'd be like an echo and it would get picked up by my other mic.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. Man, it is.
Well, let's do the week in review. How's Peter doing this week?
Peter's doing pretty good. My little bro's doing pretty good. He's same old thing. No big changes. I don't really have much of a week in review, to be honest. He started leading up to the family reunion. We just had a family reunion. I just saw him, but I'll save that for next episode. But you have a bigger week in review. But yeah, basically Peter is emailing the family too much. Leading up to the family reunion, he was like constantly emailing because he got excited and everyone was really pumped about it. And, you know, people were like, oh, it's cute. He's emailing everybody. He's like, and the email's titles be all 29 of you. And she's got 29 people on this mass email. And now that the family reunion is over, he has continued to do that. And so I had to have a phone call. And I was like, hey, man, what do you got, bells? What are you doing? What are you jiggling right now? Ice?
Nothing.
Kirk, you are jiggling something.
I can't even think.
I can't even think. And the worst part is our audience members can't hear what you're doing because they're listening through you through a different mic.
I'm looking
so
right
think
at
I'm crazy.
You.
They think I'm crazy. I see off. I see your eyes looking this down, is, jiggling something.
This is Graham losing his mind slowly, guys. That's the name of this podcast.
I think there's a correlation.
I'm just listening intently to your story about too many emails.
Okay. So anyway, I do think that there is a correlation between my brother's autism and he can't deal with that stuff either, and I can't either. Little, I don't know. Anyway, this is obviously not science. But anyway, so
I feel like
they
I'm dealing with my second autistic son. It's like I have two of them. I've got JJ and I've got Graham. One's slightly higher functioning, and the other one's
a
comedian.
Young enough to be your son. You're old for sure, but it's more like you're old enough to be my dad. But anyway, the thing is,
for sure,
he's been, you know, and no one's replying now, and so I had to tell him. I was like, you got to cool it, buddy. You can do it once a month. And he goes, but Graham, I need to do it because it keeps me. I'm lonely, and it helps me to stop from being lonely.
You know what he could do, though? He could do, like, compose one a day to each of the 27 people and then send them individually, not do it as mass spam.
Yeah, I know. That's a good idea. But I just told him, maybe, you know what, I might suggest that. But I...
just go through a list. You can, and by the time he gets to the beginning of the list, it'll be a month.
That's a good point. It is 29 days. He'll miss somebody for Black History Month, but other than that, it'll work.
Is there Black History Month in Canada?
Yep. Yeah. We culturally appropriated Black History Month.
Yeah, that's okay. That's unusual. Yeah.
I think I just wrote a joke. That's funny. That's funny.
That's pretty
to me.
Funny.
Yeah. I just made myself laugh, but I guess we did. But we have Black History Month. But anyway,
Graham's making himself laugh here in Bells. He's doing the whole thing over there on his own.
I swear to God, I haven't written today, and this podcast, this is like, that line is going
to
be a joke. That's something.
You're trying to hang up now. You're like, I should write that down.
At very least, it's going to be a tweet with 3 likes. But anyway, I told him to do it once a month, and he was like a little like, okay, you know, but it was just heartbreaking because he's like, I'm lonely. And I was like, hey, man, when is archery going to start? When is your special needs coordinator going to do that? And he's like,
I think you could write 27 individual letters to individual people. Yeah. I think that's the way to do that.
Anyway, archery starts in the fall. Archery starts in the fall. So, hopefully the emails will be slowing down when archery starts. But anyway, I'll keep you guys abreast of if the archery helps him from going insane, from like being as lonely. I mean, I didn't mean to be crass, but he's not going insane, but he's just lonely and it's heartbreaking. But anyway, he's doing fine. We're all lonely a little bit, I'm sure. He's normal in that regard, and I have to keep reminding myself that. But bigger news, bigger week in review. I'm excited to hear. We haven't talked about this off the air. You went to go visit JJ.
I don't think we did talk about that. Yeah, I went over there. It was good. We did. He's off for summer break, so there was. He's got nothing but time. Nothing but time. Actually, now he just started school again Thursday. But so he had a lot of free time. He's doing pretty good. His weight's about the same. We're at about 230 roughly. What he's doing lately that I noticed is he's really listening when you talk to him. Like he was going through this thing where he would not even look at you, or he's looking out the window, or he's distracted, or but now it's kind of unsettling in that he'll look at you the whole time and he's clearly listening. Now he doesn't respond, so it's hard to know like what he's thinking of the of what was said. But yeah, it's really new where he'll do this thing where he just like he looks at you intently while you're talking, looks at your face.
Why is that unsettling? Isn't that exciting?
It's it's exciting, but it's unusual. I've known him for 20 years and he's just starting to do this, so it's something very new. So I'm not used to him like looking at you intently while you're talking. So I'm just waiting for him at any moment to just reply, but he doesn't.
I see. Well, I guess it is one step closer to that, isn't it?
Yeah, he's listening.
Yeah, so that's
he's listening.
I think maybe, who knows? You know, it's as we've discussed 2 years ago on this podcast, that therapy works. It awakens different parts of the brain. It's clinically proven. So
another thing we had interesting happen this summer was one of his, so they get 7 or 8 weeks vacation in Sweden. So a lot of people in Sweden take all of August off. And so you have to find replacement staff. So they put in a call to the local school and we're like, is anybody in the teachers that are off for the summer they'd like to help? And one of the guys who works there, one of the men, he's probably a 50-year-old man who works with him, at the school, decided to work with him at the home. So it was only like 5 or 6 days. I think he works like Saturdays, one day. But JJ liked seeing him, and it was cool to see. You know, he does this. So JJ is very affectionate, like he likes to touch, but obviously a lot of the people don't want to be touched. So they'll do a lot of like high fives. So like whenever this guy walks in the room, JJ puts his hand up. It's like, high five.
Great.
So every time he comes in, he's like, high five. Good to see you.
What's
so it's really cute. Yeah, it's really cute. And we were able to set up the summer a lot of, not a lot, but consistent horseback riding. That's like another thing that he was really, really into. And so, yeah, we took him. There was pictures on my Instagram, if you're curious, of him riding a horse. Bareback, too. Bareback. He didn't want the saddle. So he.
How does he do that?
I don't know. You get a little stool, and you help him on there, and he just holds on. Holds on to the mane, holds on to the reins, and yeah. Kind of weird.
Cool.
Kind of weird. Kind of cool. Kind of weird.
It's pretty cool. He's good at horseback riding.
Yeah. I mean, he does it. I don't know if he's good, but he likes it. It is funny, though. When you feed the horses, you give them, like, carrots and apples, but he never wants to feed them. He wants to put the apple in your hand, grab your wrist, and then put your hand in front of the horse's mouth.
Well, he's probably scared a bit.
Yeah, because it gets a little nippy sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty funny how he does that, though. He's like, no, you put your hand out there.
Yeah, but he wants all the feeling but none of the risk. That's just smart.
He'll put it in your hand and then move your arm towards the horse. It's pretty funny.
What a guy. Oh, man, that's awesome. So that sounds like, honestly, since we started this podcast, he's improved the most in the past 12 months.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the biggest... Yeah, I mean, the baseline was so much lower, of course, but yeah, I think so.
I mean, it seems to me he is. He's, like, typing things out he likes on Google and looking at them.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that before. He has more eye contact. He's got some sort of language skills now, you know?
Not a lot of language.
No.
But I think that's the next step. I really think the eye contact was really... very new, very, very new. So the next step we're looking at, you know, really, it's 9 more months of school, and then we got to do something because he'll be 21, and so we got to find a job. You know, so that's the next step. I was talking to his social worker and his teachers and his caregivers, and so that's the next thing we're trying to do, trying to find him. You know, I thought he might like. I bought him a lamp. And it had to, you had to screw in a little piece. And so they Long-time listeners know they redid his apartment, so like the floors are now like this polished concrete or something, yeah. And the walls they did some sort of thing, but he still managed to tear it down. And so he took my screwdriver from me, and there was a screw that was like holding in some drywall, and he unscrewed it and threw it in the trash, and then he unscrewed another one and threw it in the trash. And so I was like, I had to screw those back in and then hide the screwdriver. But I was thinking he would like a job like maybe recycling, where you like take apart computers.
Yeah.
You know, and then you like disassemble them with a screwdriver, because he can use a screwdriver now. And you have to, so like when you throw out a computer, ideally, you're not supposed to just throw it out. You're supposed to like take it apart and like,
yeah,
the hard drive goes here, this goes here. So I thought a job like that we've been looking for. So I thought that could be fun. I mean, fun, but I think he'd like it. He likes that screwdriver, man. He was a big fan. Because like he always liked to put together IKEA furniture, like to take that little wrench and
Yeah, I get that. I get that feeling. That makes sense. I think that's great. So what did you talk to them about that?
Yeah, they're looking. So there's 4 or 5 kids in his class that are all about his age, and they're all getting ready to time out. So there's not any positions for them now, but we're talking about it, and I'm obviously praying and hoping and trying to – we got to find him something, because – it's not going to be good for him just to sit at home and watch videos the rest of his life. That would be not good.
Is there a – what happens if he doesn't find a job? Does he still have housing?
He still has housing, but that would not be good for him just to sit there and watch videos all day.
Okay, but is there a way that – like would he still get some sort of training or anything?
Well, that's – no, that's what we're working on, because he's in school.
That ends
in 9 months. Yeah. Well, ends this – we got him extended for one more school year. So I think the school ends next June, might be July, and end of June, I think it is, though. And yeah, then that's it. So.
And then, so who will take care of him day to day?
Well, he'll live in the same place, same aides, same caregivers. You know, some of them I like more than others, obviously. I feel like some of them push him a little bit more. And some of them he likes more than others, obviously. He's very opinionated.
He likes the babes.
Well, yeah, that's starting to change. He likes, I don't know, it's very funny. He's become very, I don't know, like opinionated. Like there's people that he just gets along with. Like it used to be just pretty right. girls, but now it's not. It's like, yeah, some of the guys he'll get along with, some of the guys he won't, some of the ladies he doesn't get along with. It's very interesting. Yeah. He's becoming a little more nuanced in opinions.
He's becoming more complex, it sounds like.
Yeah.
He's growing up a bit.
Yeah, so he's doing good. Honestly, it was like a super emotional trip. I feel like each of these trips, every time I do this, I'm like, oh, it's going to be easier. They're all such emotional trips, but
yeah. I texted you and I was like, "How was the trip a couple days ago?" And you were like, "Really emotional, just a lot of mixed feelings." You said, "What are the mixed feelings you're having?"
Like the first day, so my parents wanted to go. My mom was like, "I haven't seen him in a year. I'd like to go see him with you," because my mom's in their 70s, and so my parents are in their 70s, so they don't want to like land in Sweden and rent a car, drive 4 hours. It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a pain. And so and there's like a language issue and anyway, so I was like, sure. So we went together, but like the first day I went, and I'm trying to think, because they got there later or something, so like in the morning I'm with them by myself, it's just me and him, and he cried for like an hour, a good hour straight. He doesn't cry that much. And so then I'm like,
why?
I don't know.
Cause he saw his grandparents.
No, they hadn't seen him yet. So I don't know if he was like excited to see me or sad. Like, where have you been? Or like, where's my mom? Or like,
yeah,
why don't you see me more often? Or maybe he watched a sad video. I don't know. And so it's like, could be anything, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he sat on his balls. Who knows?
Yeah.
But obviously, I hope it's something like that, where he accidentally closed his hand on the door. Not that he's like feeling unloved and unwanted or something like that, more complex. But, you know, I do that joke where I'm like, as a man, I have a hard time expressing my emotions. You know, I you know, I was going to, the joke is I was going to my shrink and my shrink was like, I have a hard time expressing what I'm feeling. My shrink was like, yeah, well, traditionally men only know how to express anger and lust. But you know, you've been through a lot. Your kid's mom died. You have a disabled son. How does that make you feel? I said, well, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm definitely. And it's really starting to piss me off. So that's the joke. But I wonder, you know, if he's like that, where he feels sad. Sometimes it doesn't work, though. Sometimes people feel bad for me, I feel like. But I feel like sometimes, I don't know if he's like that, where he's sad, he doesn't know exactly why, if he's able to process, you know, I haven't seen my mom in a few years now, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know he's sad and he's crying, and so it's like, yeah.
What happens when you walk in the door on these trips and you see him for the first time?
First trip, first day, he's like, first hour, he's a little like, he's busy. He's like, he's on his computer and he's watching his videos. And then, you know, and then I'll usually kind of get in his personal space and like, I get in his space and like hug him or like talk to him. And then he starts to like get like sneak. I don't know how to describe it, like sneakily smile where he just kind of like smile a little bit like. And then he'll do these things where he wants to play where like he'll try to like stick his arm close to my mouth so I'll fake bite it, and then he'll like pull it away too fast. He has all these little games he likes to play with me. So it's that, or he wants to wrestle, or he wants me to like stick my hands under his chin and like kind of tickle him, but then he like he'll stop me. I don't know. He has all these games, so he clearly remembers. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do these games with my mom or the other staff, and so, or he want to wrestle on the floor. The thing is, he's like, I don't know if I'm getting old. I know I'm getting old. He's like 230, so when he like sits on you, it's like it's a lot, you know, because he want to like kind of bounce, and it's like,
yeah, he's big.
He's a big man. Yeah, think about it like this: if you're laying down flat, and then I came, kind of ran and jumped, and like kind of belly flopped on you, it's like
you'd break my ribs.
Yeah, he feels like you could. He's heavier than I am. So it was a good trip. It was just emotional. The crying's hard. And then I know I'm leaving. And then we did a short trip because it's like he's at the stage where he's like he doesn't do a lot, right? He doesn't like to do a lot. He likes to go to IKEA. I went to IKEA at least once a day. He didn't want to get out at the beach. He wanted to sit in the car. He really likes the car. So that reminds me, I'm supposed to message this lady about them getting a car at the home. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm writing a note for myself. Yeah, so it's emotional.
Yeah. It's a lot of mixed feelings, I imagine. Well, you'll find him a job, I'm sure, in the next.
Yeah.
Maybe not right away, but eventually.
I'm hopeful. We're going to find him something good.
Just be patient. Stay on them. You know, you
might. I thought something outdoors would be good, too. Maybe like landscaping or snow removal or like, yeah.
Do they have any sort of precedent with doing that with kids like him?
Yeah, the landscaping one's full right now. Yeah, those jobs. So the one that I'm pushing for right now is a recycling. I think recycling would be really good for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds really good. They have that. They have that job.
Sort of. It's like it'd be a new. They have jobs like that, but this would be new to do it with people with disabilities.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'd be a good janitor.
Yeah,
my brother's a janitor.
Yeah, because he like they taught him.
He'd be better at being a janitor in an office than my brother because he's nonverbal. My brother got fired for chit-chatting too much with everybody.
I remember that.
He couldn't stop. That. He couldn't help himself. He'd go to every desk and tell them how he got bullied in high school. And they're like,
"Oh, that's tough.
We love you, but you got to stop." And he's like, "Got it." Next day, I got bullied in high school. This guy's a jerk. And they're like, "Okay, I can't, you know." So. You know.
Yeah, he won't have that problem. There's not gonna be any of that. He does his own chores now, where he'll load the laundry, he empties his trash, he does the vacuuming. So I think that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we do in the news?
Let's do in the news. This was an interesting one. I thought it was interesting. It's Let me pull it up here. You caught me off guard. I was in my cry mode. Here we go.
Yeah, I saw that. Shift gears. Can't have you cry.
No, not too much. This is
Comedian's Guide to Autism, not Wimp's Guide to Autism.
Not Crybaby's Guide to Autism.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
When my daughter with autism met a princess just like her. This was in, for all you millennials, it's about Instagram. This is I read it on Yahoo News, but it's from the Mighty. A few years ago, my daughter was diagnosed with autism. I went down the whole Instagram search for someone who would understand. I didn't know a single person on the spectrum, and all my friends had typically developing children, so I was desperate to connect with anyone who could say, quote unquote, I get it, instead of the I can't imagine. They were holding my way. When I stumbled upon a beauty queen, a title holder for the Miss America organization, to be exact, a woman with a successful career, steady boyfriend, and more active social life than I could ever imagine. She quickly became an inspiration for me because of all that and more. I wrote her a message with something like this. Help me. I'm overwhelmed and scared. I need to understand my daughter, which I don't know if that's the best opening for a message to somebody on Instagram, but...
Also, send me money to Nigeria.
Exactly. I think she could, these sentences could use a few verbs. Anyway, I was a mother risking it all to a stranger, essentially begging her to give me some secret sauce to not just surviving, but thriving. Asking what we all want to know when we're faced with a crisis. Will I be okay? She replied in an email the next day. And over the next 2 years, Kaylin, C-A-E-L-I-N, Kaylin, maybe? And I would become online friends. As I watched her colorful life from states away, she witnessed me transform from a scared, uncertain, grieving mother to one who has incorporated autism into our everyday lives. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Last week, Kaylin reached out to me asking to Skype with Campbell. And after some back and forth messages, we figured out my family was vacationing 20 minutes from her hometown. Wow. I told Campbell we were going to meet a princess and explained all the amazing things she had done. And the reason she gets to travel the world, wears crowns, and speaks on stage is because she has a gift called autism. This was the first time I introduced that word to my daughter. Campbell doesn't understand she's different, and I've been internally fearing that coming out conversation for years. How would I tell her? What would I tell her? When would I tell her? But using Kaylin as a bookmark for autism was the most beautiful gift. She does all these things because she was given an asset to walk this world with. Being on the spectrum isn't scary. It's a superpower. You don't become royalty by being like everybody else. And it's got pictures of them hugging. And we met Kaylin at the beach. When Campbell saw her from a distance, she ran into her arms and hugging her until she lost breath. I've never seen my daughter do this with a stranger, and something tells me Kaylin has never had it done to her. I think that she knew that she was running into the arms of someone with familiar needs and was safe. After we finished embracing, Kaylin handed my daughter a gift that would change us all, her crown. Watching this passing of the torch was the most beautiful moment in my life. I've been searching for years for someone who understands my daughter. And here she was, kneeling in the grass, hugging her, anointing her with a jeweled reminder that anything is possible. And that's got a cute little picture of the girl holding the crown. Jump forward a little bit. Here we go. I'm jumping forward at the bottom. Okay, here we go. As our day came to a close, my daughter began to cry. Imagine this, because there's no greater feeling in the world than meeting someone who gets you. For a few hours in sunny San Diego, she was understood. How do you let go of that good, good love? The answer is you don't. Kaylin is a member of our family now, and her crown sits in Campbell's room as she shines almost as brightly as her spirits. I've never been more proud of my daughter's superpower. The world may suggest that those with disabilities and differences are not good enough. I beg to differ. Look at these girls. They are the faces of autism. They're redefining that true beauty is in the inside. And the wonderful news is we don't need diamonds to do that. If you're born different, hold your head high. You've always worn the most valuable crown. That's it. What do you think, bud?
I mean, it's a nice story. We do a lot of, scientific stories, sad stories. So I think it's time just for just a good old-fashioned heartwarming story, you know? Plus, you were bumming everybody out a couple minutes ago. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
We have both cried on this podcast, so it's.
I think it's good. I don't think it. You know, we talked about this. I think the spectrum is so wide, so neither of those girls represent, you know, somebody like my son's app. But I think that's good. I think there's, you know, something for all of us.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice that, and it's just. the more people that you can interact with that are like you, the less alone you're going to feel, regardless of who you are or what you do. And that's something that we're still working with and struggling with Peter. It's one of the reasons why he's alone and sends too many emails, is because he hasn't met his Kayleen or whatever. So, you know, still searching, and good for his mother to reach out and try and make contacts. So, yeah. Did we do it? Did we do an episode?
We did it, man.
Hey, guys, you were great.
You were great.
Thanks.
Guys, check us out on the old Facebook and Instagram. Like and subscribe on wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or Podbeam or whatever. We really appreciate those ratings.
And give us your money. Patreon.com/autastic. patreon.com/autastic. Every time we release an episode, it sort of donates a dollar to us, or $5 or whatever you choose. And we appreciate it. It helps us pay for the hosting and all that stuff. And also all of our bling, all the bling we wear.
Mouse traps, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, mouse trap fun.
Guys, this week I'm at the Comedy Store. Two shows, Tuesday, Friday. Add me on Instagram, Kirk Smith Comedy. Graham, what's going on with you?
I tell you what, folks, in Toronto, I got some big shows coming up. I am going to be at JFL 42 in Toronto, the 26th, 27th. Of September. So I'm going to have my own show on the 26th, 27th of September. There is no venue yet, but I've been assured by the organizer I will have a venue. I will not be performing in a subway station, but you can buy tickets already at JFL42.com. And just Google JFL42 Graham K, and I'll pop up right there. JFL42 Graham K. Toronto, come out. They're going to be great shows. Also, follow me on Instagram, INSTA, my name, Insta Graham K. Thanks very much. We did it, right?
Have a great week. You can do it.